Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Sports Bros here. I am Isaac.
Sada.
Hello, Big Six right over there. Look at him. And there is Schulte once again decked out in Mariners gear, even though the Mariners aren't even playing.
He is got to support the team.
Fully ready for tomorrow's Game 5. Pivotal. Yeah. Must win Game 5.
Let's Phillies go, baby. Have drawn first blood here. They're up 1-0 now.
This is a great game.
This is.
Phillies up 1-0 in the 7th inning in L.A. Phillies playing for their baseball lives. And then tonight we get the Brewers and Cubs. Cubs playing for their baseball lives.
Yep, down 2-1 in that series.
We'll get mad again, Rob, because it looked like the Dodgers had brought Sheehan in again. Their extra starting pitcher because they've got like 7 to relieve. So,
well, he's the one that gave up the run.
Yeah,
I mean Glasnow pitched 6 scoreless innings.
Yeah, he was great.
And they went to Sheehan because their bullpen is so bad that they have to go to Sheehan or Glasnow out of the bullpen.
Yeah,
and well, so what I think their only plan, I don't know if this is spot on, but I'm pretty sure their only plan tonight is Glasnow, Sheehan, Sasaki. I think that's the only, unless they go to Vesia or whatever, the lefty in a spot facing a lefty hitter. Or, I mean, when the Dodgers go to their bullpen, dude,
it's
their real
dicey.
Bullpen,
it's dicey.
It is, hang on to your shorts.
Well, I mean, it was a one-run game last night, and they went to... they went to Clayton Kershaw, and Dave Roberts basically said, I didn't want to bring in one of my two relievers, basically two, in a deficit game. He basically just said, we're going to see what happens, and this is the one that matters. We don't want to go back to Philly. So it's amazing with all that money and all that starting pitching, you can't find a bullpen.
Well, they spent, you know, you realize they spent $107 million on their bullpen.
On their bullpen.
Yeah.
And this is where
so
we're
they
well, I mean,
they kind of did. They found a $107 million bullpen, and it sucks, which is why no one should be rooting for the Dodgers.
No.
Okay? It's bullsh. Not happy about it.
You imagine like, the Mariners bullpen with Sasaki in it? My God. That would move.
Well, I mean, Sasaki, you know, and that's the other thing. They've kind of gotten lucky with Sasaki. Sasaki hasn't done anything all year, and he's been hurt.
Well, and then they just figured out. They're like, we don't need you. Hey, you want to be a closer? And he's like, all right.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
And now he's freaking lights out.
Well, that's what happened with, like, Luke Weaver with the Yankees, right? They're like, I don't know, you can't start, but, you want to be a reliever? And he's like, okay, and then he was lights out, though this year he kind of stunk.
Well, remember, too, Sasaki came in on the same deal that Shohei Ohtani did. It was like it's a major league minimum that he's making, right? So he's not even part of that $107 million. He's just the extra bonus.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, their starting pitching is so deep that they're just like, screw our $107 million bullpen. We'll just not throw them. a luxury.
Must be nice, and we'll just outscore you because God knows we've got the bats. How many MVPs are in that lineup?
So we four, right? Betts, Freeman, and Shohei.
Yeah. And then you still have the Max Muncies of the world, and that lineup is just
three.
It's just ridiculous.
So we've got the latest on Bill Belichick here before we get to some, some kind of under-the-radar Blazers news I want to throw at you here in a minute.
Okay.
But Belichick, so we talked yesterday that, of course, he's under fire at North Carolina. They suck, and they're actually even talking about an exit strategy for him, and they're like 5 games into the season.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And Bill's talking about, like, I don't care about the money. Just let me leave here with dignity and find something else to go do.
And we probably should have seen that coming, considering it has now come out that Belichick and Jordan Hudson went on vacation during the bye week. They were in the and there's pictures of them. Like they were in what do you call that fancy, you've been there, Martha's Vineyard or?
Yeah, Martha's Vineyard up there in New Hampshire. Or
Nantucket. They went to Nantucket.
Well, that makes sense. Boston. Yeah. He's probably, in fact, I think that's where he, remember that was the shirtless ring cam photo? I think that was at Bill's house up there, so.
So they were up there all week on his bye. Are you kidding me?
Should we have asked Dan Lanning if he took vacation during the bye
week?
You
know, honestly, dude, I really thought about it, but then I thought, well, that throws Bill, you know, like he's not going to throw Bill Belichick under the bus. But like, I was going to ask him, like, have you ever heard of a coach taking a vacation on the bye week?
Well, when you don't recruit, I mean, and why not? Lanning was like visiting a bunch of high schools in California. There were all these kinds of photos and stuff of him popping up, you know, out on the recruiting trail. Meanwhile, Bill's got 24-year-old hots up in Nantucket doing whatever you do with 24-year-old hots. Good for you, Bill. Way to live your best life. As if you care. At this point, Bill knows it's not. There's no coming back from this. The brakes have been cut. Just let the van at this point just go into the middle of the ocean. Just drive it down the hill.
Just go smash.
The Phillies defense, by the way, is so good, and it pisses me off as a Mets fan. Every time I look up, the Phillies are making an unbelievable play, and the Mets can't field the damn ball. And you wonder why
that's why the Phillies are here and your team is not.
Seriously, the Phillies defense in this game has been freaking fantastic.
Phillies look good tonight.
Yes.
They're playing great. Although they're not really hitting, but they have one run, and that's so far is enough.
Yeah, it is. Well, when you play great defense, sometimes that's enough. And someone said it's North Carolina's fault for hiring him. I get why North Carolina did it, but
that's true.
It was the definition of a ballsy move, and it did not work out. So, look, he will not be back next year. So, whether it's his own doing, North Carolina's a mutual thing, they're going to get a buyout, and he'll get out of there, and North Carolina can move on from this absolute disaster. And this will effectively end Bill Belichick's coaching career. And every one of those NFL talking heads that like were like, well, you know, Bill will get a job next year. No, he won't. When Bill was done in New England, Bill was done coaching. Period. End of story. Get ready for Bill on whatever NFL show or College Game Day that he wants to go be a part of. But he will not coach meaningful football again.
So the under-the-radar Blazers news I wanted to tell you is like, look, I make fun of the Blazers. As do you. You know.
It's quite easy at times.
Yeah. But I am rooting for the sale of the Blazers to this
Tom Dundon
guy. I'm rooting for that.
With or without Panda money, but I want Panda money because I want free orange chicken when they score 100 points.
I just want... Look, the Blazers kind of seem like a lost cause until you get new ownership, they clean house... Reset this whole bitch.
Sure.
And once that happens, I think, you know, I just think it's going to be good for all parties involved. Until that happens, I just don't think there's much going on with the franchise. At least Lillard's back. That's some goodwill. Other than that, whatever. So I saw they were playing last night, and I was like, oh, my God, Blazers. And then I went and looked at the over-under win total, 34.5.
I was going to say, it's probably about the same.
Same as it always is. So it's just it's like, who cares? Sell the damn team, and thankfully they have. So the under the radar news that I wanted to share with you is that Dundon. So there was this snafu with the sale, because the Panda Express people, the Chungs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
It seems phonetically that that's how you would say it.
They were the richest people. They had the deepest pockets in his ownership group.
Yeah.
And they had violated an exclusivity deal.
Allegedly.
By Raj Sports. And so they got sued. And so they were then, you know, kicked out of or at least the Raj Sports Group is trying to kick them out of the Dundon ownership group.
Yes.
So it came out on Tuesday that Dundon did say, because this is all coming out via court filings, Dundon did say that he is expecting to close the acquisition of the Trailblazers without needing funding from the Panda Express people.
Yes, it sounds like he wants the Panda money, but if he doesn't get the Panda money, it's not.
Yeah, and I think
it's not a game.
I haven't seen that reported in many places, and I think that that is actually significant.
Sure,
that because I think there was some thought that. Perhaps Dundon would now no longer be able to buy the team.
Well, Dundon he's rich. He is not FU rich. He does not have $30 billion. This isn't the Walmart people or Ballmer. But it was funny at the media day, they acted like this was a non-story. I mean, it was
of course
everyone was just, no, but they were like, hey, you know, the sale will be done in the spring. And there was no, I mean, it was like all signs point ahead. So maybe all along, yeah, this may be a bitter lawsuit, but it certainly doesn't seem like anyone, at least from an outward facing perspective, thinks that this is going to be any sort of blip on the radar for Dundon to buy the team.
Yeah. This says Dundon is trying to convince the court that there is no rush and therefore no need to put the brakes on this deal. He told the court there will be several months now before it closes.
Yeah. So, and could be posturing. I mean, I'm assuming losing the richest person or the richest group in your financial backing would be a significant blow, but I don't know. I don't know who has the money, but it is, it's $4.2 billion, and we do know Tom Dundon doesn't have $4.2 billion. He is not worth that. So you got to get the money somewhere, but if it falls through, he seems like the sort of guy that's a mover and shaker. It doesn't feel like there's a shortage of people that are willing to put in money to go buy a professional sports team right now.
Yeah, so many people want in. Like, yeah. They're willing to buy, like, it's like probably a group of 20 people that are, like, looking at the WNBA now, all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, the Blazers spot is actually open. No, you will see tons of offers for this.
More likely undefeated team. We'll get to that next. A little college football talk on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I guess you have the Red River rivalry.
Yeah. And I know Texas, obviously, that's lost some steam with them having two losses, but be careful writing off Texas. That's still a really uber talented team. And Oklahoma looks good. We don't know what's happening with Mateer. And so far, like, I mean, they've beaten Michigan and Auburn. We know Oklahoma's better than some people thought, but Oklahoma isn't exactly you know, blowing people out. This could be a much closer game. And this game usually is competitive, even when Oklahoma was bad.
This is my favorite college football game.
Yeah.
I love
the Cotton Bowl and State Fair.
I absolutely love it. It's half Texas fans, half Oklahoma fans. Yep. And it always seems to be a barn burner, although last year Texas blew them out.
Yeah, but for the most part, like I said, even when Oklahoma's been down, or Texas has been down, they usually end up being very competitive games.
Yeah, but watching what, you know, the way Arch is playing.
Yeah, it's not great.
It is really hard to see him having success against Oklahoma's defense.
Yes. Venables, Jackson Arnold, the Auburn quarterback, was befuddled. Poor Bryce Underwood at Michigan just looked completely lost. Oklahoma's defense is cooking right now. And supposedly one of the things that Arch is having the most struggles with is pre-snap looks. I guess he just is not comfortable and appears lost, and Texas has had to really kind of neuter what they're doing from an offensive standpoint, and their O-line has not been very good. So all of these things, I would assume, are licking chops right now if you're Oklahoma's defense.
So you got that game, Oregon-Indiana, but I was looking at, you know, if Oregon wins this game, they might go undefeated.
Yeah. Well, the winner of this game, both miss Ohio State. And so whoever wins this game, you're almost guaranteeing yourself a spot in the Big Ten title game. And you're just in the catbird seat for the playoff. Because Indiana, after this, they got a game at Penn State. And that's basically about it. Everything else, they are going to be significant favorites. And Oregon, it's the same thing. After this, you have, USC and Washington at the end of the year. So the winner of this game, essentially, you're in the Big Ten title game and you... more than likely are a college football playoff team. So there's big implications.
So Oregon, this is the last, at least now, for now, this is the last ranked team that they will play.
Yeah. And USC or Washington could be ranked by the end of the year. We'll have to kind of wait and see how all that shakes out.
Yeah, I don't see Washington being ranked, but maybe USC.
Well, Washington's schedule is pretty, it's pretty tasty for them too. If Washington can get it together and get healthy, I think Washington has a chance at the end of the year to be playing meaningful football, including that Oregon game. And we'll see. It didn't look great on the road. They got Rutgers this week. And
that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, they play on Friday night. But when you look at Washington, and I still think Washington's a really talented team, they get Rutgers, and then they've got two with Michigan and Illinois. If you can get that split, then the rest of it, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA. Even if you split that Michigan and Illinois and you're going to be favorite in every other game, that puts you as a two-loss team going into that last game against Oregon. That's a meaningful game. When you're a two-loss team in a power conference like the Big Ten or the SEC, that's going to have major implications. So, I mean, that there's a long way to go, but Washington does have a path, a very reasonable path, to having that Oregon game be in Seattle with a lot on the line.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at the top of the top 25 and you see a bunch of undefeated teams, but you just really don't expect anyone from the SEC to go undefeated because the league is too tough.
Boy, the SEC is a flip a coin for me. I don't know who's going to win that thing.
I mean, it's wide open. You got Ole Miss undefeated, Oklahoma undefeated, but, you know, again, that league is just really tough.
Yeah.
Chances are nobody will come out of that league undefeated. But you look at Ohio State, Miami, Oregon, and even Texas Tech from the other leagues, all of those teams could end up undefeated.
Yeah.
If you look at their schedules, this is Oregon's last ranked team. Like I said, we'll see. But Texas Tech only has one more. They have two more ranked games, but they're in the Big 12. They're Arizona State and BYU.
Yeah.
But, dude, I feel like they look so much better than every other team in the Big 12 that I don't know if they lose. They're really good.
They are.
And then you got Miami, who has already played everybody good on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They've already beaten them. They don't have any ranked teams left. And then you have Ohio State, who will have to win at Illinois this weekend, which is a bit of a test, but they're two touchdown favorites.
They have to
beat Michigan. And that's the only other ranked team that they have.
Yeah, because they miss both Oregon and Indiana. The only thing is, like, Oregon and the Ohio States, I mean, I tend to trust. Even Miami, Miami's really good. In fact, when you look at resume, Miami should be the number one team in the country. By the way, Philadelphia walked the tying run in, by the way.
They brought in their closer.
They brought in their closer in the seventh, intentionally walked Ohtani to load the bases, and then walked Mookie Betts.
You wonder if they were. Would you? So runners at second and third.
Second and third.
You're up 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
First base open with two outs. Do you want Ohtani? I mean, I know he's a lefty versus a righty. It's Duran that's in there, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd be scared of him.
I felt good about it too. I was like, you probably should put him on. But then you have no margin for error if you walk the next guy and Mookie Betts took a walk.
And now Teoscar Hernandez is up. Watch him break this thing open. But
good ball game.
The one thing I'll say is when you're not a dominant team, when you're not like a truly, truly elite team, we talk about all the time, the witches of November, man. Last year, Alabama catbird seat to get in, and they lose to a horse crap Oklahoma team. Miami, catbird seat, sitting pretty, and they lost to... They stubbed
last year?
Yeah, last year, and it cost them. I don't remember who it was.
They lost two, it looks like. They lost to Georgia Tech and Syracuse.
Yeah, like, it just, you get into these spots where it's everything is there in front of you. And when you're a good but not an elite team, man, you just, it's really hard to go undefeated. It just is. And so I can look at Texas Tech, or I can look at some of these teams, like you said, there shouldn't be problems on their schedule, but every year there is, every single year.
Yeah, I guess if I'm betting who's going to go undefeated, I think Miami will drop one only because they're coached by the great Mario Cristobal. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at their skid. Like, I'm looking at who's left.
Well, they have the ACC title game, too. Yeah, there's not a lot left.
Dude, they're going to go undefeated.
They're going to go undefeated.
Who gets them on there? Louisville, Stanford, SMU.
Syracuse is on a backup quarterback.
Syracuse, NC State, Va-Tech, or Pitt. No, they're going undefeated, dude.
Unless Miami pulls a crystal ball, they're going undefeated.
But to your point, I think Texas Tech probably will drop one. Yeah. I mean, that's... Even though it's the Big 12, but they look really good.
Look
I don't
really
think
good,
Oregon loses if they beat Indiana.
No, I don't think they do.
Now, Ohio State's interesting. I could see them tripping up once. Maybe Penn State finally does something. They got Michigan, Illinois.
The SEC teams won't go undefeated. I've watched Texas A&M. I've watched Ole Miss. And these are, again, good teams. But you won't go undefeated in that league. You just won't. And none of those teams down there are elite. There's not an SEC team that I've watched right now that like just jumps off the page at you. And I think that's just kind of the year it is. There doesn't appear, and maybe this is just parity and NIL has kind of bled out the talent around the country. It's evened it out. But when you watch LSU, when you watch Ole Miss, you watch Alabama, you watch Oklahoma, it's not like these teams are like, oh my God, they're just jumping off the page at you. Where remember some of those Georgia and Alabama teams that had 11, you know, first round picks on them, and like half your defense is going to go in the first round. It's just, that's not the thing. It's not the thing this year. And so that's why I said, I think this is fun, because I think legitimately you can make a case for way more teams being national type teams, national championship type teams this year than we have in the past.
What if you get undefeated Ohio State and undefeated Oregon in the Big Ten title game?
That'd be awesome.
God.
And yet, yeah, both of them would end up going on to the playoff, but it'd be an awesome game.
Well, then you'd want to lose because you don't want the bye.
Remember? I think I'd rather still, and they changed it a little bit this year.
Yeah, they did.
I would still rather have
So this year, they don't have the three, it's like a, what they have, like 18 days?
It was a long time.
They've changed that?
Yeah, essentially a month off. I thought they tweaked it to not, I'll look and see. I thought they tweaked it to address that.
Well, they should. If they didn't, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'd have to look. I thought they did, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Lay down against Ohio State?
Yeah, the Ducks had a 24-day break, actually.
Oh, it's 24?
Yeah, almost. We're talking almost God. A calendar month.
God. Dude, that's nuts.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I still what would mess. Rather have the bye than have to play an extra game.
I mean,
and run the risk of having
well,
it be
I will
someone
say this.
That's really good.
You say this about Oregon. I don't know that I would rather have the bye because last year
they played Tennessee or Ohio State.
Like,
had to go through Tennessee.
I mean, a couple of those teams had to go to Boise and like
that's true.
Play SMU. Like, yeah. Dude, I'll take that. But the thing about Oregon this year is if they get a bye. Clearly, they know how
they'll handle
it. It certainly affected them sure. against Ohio State, and they will do. I just handle it better. I think
I'm just telling me if and again last year the way it worked out and they changed the seeding. I know that right. So maybe that's what
well,
I'm.
Well, now
thinking
it's
of,
all just
yeah. It's just it's, seeds. It's yeah. Because remember Ohio
Conference
State.
Yeah.
Ohio State got to play Tennessee. It's like and now it'll be changed. Like Boise State and Arizona State won't get byes. Right, it's that's Arizona State got the bye. That won't happen. They changed the seeding, but the idea that you could potentially, if you were a one or a two seed, the idea that you could either have a bye and have that you know an extra week layoff because that's all it is. It's one extra week of a layoff versus the other teams in there. A little more, I guess, if you didn't play in your conference title game. But if I told you you get a bye and you have to deal with a little extra layoff, or you get to play a first round game and that. Like right now, as we're looking at the schedule, that could be against Alabama, Texas Tech, Georgia. And by the way, like literally, that's 8, 9, and 10.
Mm.
You're telling me?
No.
No, I'll go ahead and take the bye.
Not under that scenario.
Yeah. Now, last year, it turned out that Ohio State got Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you know, Tennessee, whatever you think of them. But that was the second or third team in the SEC. And the second or third team in the SEC this year could be Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, someone like that. No, man, I'll gladly take, you know, if you told me that it's a, you know, it's a Boise State, sure, but you can't predict that. And I just don't, this idea that you're cocky sniffing and that, well, it's an extra game. Yeah, be careful who you wish for, because you know who could be an extra game last year for, like Tennessee, right? Tennessee's like, oh, who's our game against? Do we get Boise State? Do we get SMU? No, you got freaking Ohio State. For all the talk we talk about Oregon getting the bye and getting screwed, how about if you're Tennessee You're like, wait, my reward is I get to play Ohio State? That's cool. Awesome. I mean, here's the woodshed. Thanks for coming.
All right, coming up next, college athletes are about to be just like us and lose money betting pro sports. Here's Schultz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's a good little sports night. We've got the Phillies and Dodgers tied 1-1 in the eighth. And the Giants with the early 13-3 lead on your Eagles.
14-3 now.
Oh, 14-3.
Yeah, they kicked an extra point.
Well, look at them.
Yeah, Jackson Dart, by the way, making some plays. And the
touchdown Eagles, six, brother.
The Eagles' offensive line looks terrible. No Jalen Carter. And I think that's kind of the bigger issue here is, you know, there's some cracks forming there in Philadelphia. Obviously, things aren't going well on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, this defense at times has looked really leaky, and they got secondary problems, and, you know, they need Jalen Carter in there, and one guy can make a difference, but that's concerning when the Giants, on some scramble plays, have cooked you a little bit. He's got a 19-yard touchdown run, and his touchdown pass was a kind of run around Johnny Manziel style, and then a great play down the sideline, and then no one could tackle.
Yeah, I would say that I would trust the Eagles defense eventually. Like, I do feel like we get in this point of the season and we draw way too many conclusions about things. Like, the Ravens are only like two games back in the division.
Yeah.
And it's been bad for them. And they may lose again this weekend. Yeah. But it's so early. Yeah. So the Eagles defense I wouldn't worry about as much. Their offense, though.
Yeah, it's got issues.
It's had issues for 2.5 years.
Yeah. I just, you know.
Except for Barkley last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
And by the way, I don't know what, like, the O-line is not what it was. And Saquon Barkley, we talked about this going into the year. When you have the sort of year he had and you get all the touches and all the carries, traditionally that has not bode well coming back for another year of that. Their passing offense is a mess. And I don't know, they find ways to grind out games, but
by the way, it is 13-3.
Did they miss the extra point?
I don't know. It's 13-3.
Oh. I assume that when I saw 13 that the extra point was
well, coming.
Well,
that's what you get when you assume.
Well, they've scored two touchdowns, so obviously there was an extra point somewhere.
Embarrassing stupidity.
That went awry. But their defense gave up, has given up now 26 to the Rams and should have lost that game. The only reason is because the Rams shot themselves in the foot multiple times. The Buccaneers made a rousing comeback against them and damn near had something there. And now we've got the Giants that are going up and down the field on him with Jackson Dart. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I bet the Eagles win this, though.
They are the best team that you just...
You can't trust
them. It is a roller coaster ride. You know, it's just every single year with these guys, it's like they try to make it so hard on themselves, and it feels like they all hate each other.
No, totally.
But they begrudgingly kind of pull in the same direction.
Yeah, it's like you can always feel like when the Chiefs are struggling, it doesn't feel like when the Eagles are struggling. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the Chiefs is just like, well, they still have Andy Reid and Mahomes. And
they'll be fine.
They're all together. It seems all on the same page. Eagles... When they're struggling, it feels like it's about to crumble.
It does. And no one has any belief in Sirianni, even though that guy's record is insane. And it's an uneasy feeling in Philadelphia. But it's still, like, it's arguably, it's the best roster in football. But you have a quarterback that is been great in big games, but that no one really trusts in the regular season. And that style of kind of winning ugly, that's the one that's terrifying, because when you're winning so many close games, the idea is that eventually those balls start bouncing the other way. And they really do need Jalen Carter. He's out with a heel tonight. He is a difference maker. When he is in the ball game, he is a game wrecker. He's one of those guys that you just have to have in.
College athletes could soon be allowed to bet on professional sports.
I thought they said they could already.
How do you feel about that?
I think isn't that a done deal? I saw this, was it yesterday, 2 days ago?
Yeah, well, we're just now getting to it.
Yeah.
Jace, we've been very busy.
Yeah, but
busy
you said
here.
They may. I think they can.
Oh, they actually ratified it?
I think so, yes.
Okay, great.
So, you can't...
Welcome to the club.
You can't bet on college sports, but yeah, you can bet on bet on pro sports.
Which
now.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yes.
Fine.
Everyone else is gambling.
Whatever.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only...
Lose your money.
It's only a matter of time before...
Lose that NIL money.
Exactly. It's only a matter of time before just every gambling... Like, it's all legal. Like, literally, you can't go 2 seconds in watching a sports game without a commercial or a billboard somewhere in the stadium for gambling. It's just... there's so much money to be made, there's no more integrity. It's just, let's gamble, 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 gamble.
So I'd like to talk to you about Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah.
Coming up
Paul
next.
On the Feinbaum Show.
Well, I think that it's good that he is running for Senate.
Really?
Well...
This is where we're at in our country? Tommy Tuberville and Paul Feinbaum?
Well, it's actually not good. Well, okay.
It's terrible.
Well, here's the thing. If he runs for... Well, can we come back and talk about this?
Yeah, we can come back and talk about it.
Good, thanks. Yeah.
I do like the Paul Feinbaum song, though.
There's a Paul Feinbaum song?
Someone wrote him... His show, there's a theme song to it, and it's actually pretty good. It's the only good thing about the Paul Feinbaum show is the Paul Feinbaum song. The only good thing.
All that talk about the Eagles, and they just scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So they'll probably win 50-13.
Colin just tweeted out, I believe it was, that Jackson Dart is going to take the Giants to see Bad Bunny. People want Jackson Dart to be so good, so very fast.
All right, we will return, and only about 15 minutes away from the club.
Yeah.
On the Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Ducks Athletics. Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
You know, it was a good week. We went to practice last week, got some recovery in, and then we're able to get on the road recruiting towards the end of the week, go see some high school games. And Saturday, I got to watch a little college football, which is fun.
Hey, Bill Belichick on his bye week went to Nantucket. Dan Lanning just sat around and watched college football. What's the matter with these coaches? They don't work very hard, do they?
Well, I wish we could have asked him. Hey, coach, did you happen to like maybe go down to the Oregon coast, huh? Take the missus out for some tasty freeze or something? Oh, that right there is the difference between the greatest college coach or the greatest NFL coach of all time and Dan Lanning.
Well, I'm conflicted because I can't stand Paul Feinbaum. I don't consume his show much, but if you watch ESPN, he is on there,
yeah.
Or at least was quite a bit. Yeah, I found him, you know, being in the radio business. Ooh, I'm watching the Dodgers and Phillies. Look like Muncy was about to walk it off.
Yeah, hit one deep in the center, but
one of those where you go, that's
What's crazy is that's a 400-foot bomb. It just was to dead center field. If that's down the line either way, that's, you know, that's a home run.
Anyway, being in sports radio, you know, we kind of have a little bit of an idea of what it takes to do a show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've seen Paul Feinbaum's or heard his show, I'm just like,
yeah, it's one of those.
That's like, because you always hear the lore, like that Paul Feinbaum guy from the South, like big radio name. And then you hear the show and you're like,
it just doesn't make any sense to me. He just made a living off of...
There's really nothing to his show. It's just all the callers calling in.
It's SEC fans, like, legend yelling about...
Yeah.
He just gave everyone a voice.
You got to give him credit for building that, but I just don't find him to be some great sports guy. He's the same guy who told us that Arch Manning was the best player since Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Before he even started a game.
Yes. He... he was claiming that this was a generational one of one, all of that. Yes.
So he's a goob. So I'm a little conflicted. I want him off my TV. So I'm okay with him running for Senate because it came out that, you know, he was going to run for Senate.
Yeah.
Because Tommy Tuberville called him and said, "We need you, Paul." Seriously. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that he'll be off ESPN, but bad because then he becomes a lawmaker.
Yes.
So this is why I'm conflicted. Which do you choose, Feinbaum off your TV but a lawmaker, or Feinbaum on your TV and not a lawmaker?
I think it's extremely troubling that Tommy Tuberville and now Paul Feinbaum potentially could be making decisions that affect the entire country. It is staggering to me that this is where we're at.
So you want him on your TV?
Because I can ignore him. He has nothing. When he's on my TV or on my radio, whatever, dude. You allow some dude from Alabama to call in and yell Roll Tide. Be my guest. But the idea that people in the state of Alabama would elect Paul Feinbaum for no other reason than he's Paul Feinbaum, then we just deserve what we get. We really do. We're at the point where we just... Some of these people that we're electing, I mean,
just stupid.
We've got to be better than this, and yet we're not. We're just not. Roll Tide. And he's so dry and boring. Is he the first guy that just said, "I'm just going to let angry Southerners yell at each other"?
Because there are a lot of stupid people in this country running things.
They love him, man.
Do they? Or do they just love to hear their voices on the radio?
Well, a little bit of that. Yeah. But he gives them that.
Is he still doing his radio show?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah. When I'm driving in, if you're flipping around, it's on there. You see it. There was some controversy. I guess he went on Clay Travis's show, and supposedly ESPN may have an issue and tried to take him off the air. I don't know. There's like some debate whether or not ESPN is pissed if he's going down the Clay Travis road or not. I you know.
What sportsman or sportswoman would you most want to see run for office in your state?
If you gave me, in my state.
Well, I don't know. You could do both.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people to me that come across as intelligent, smart people. Like David Shaw, I think, is a really smart guy that seems like he's a reasonable human being.
What's he doing now?
That I could get behind. I don't know what David Shaw is doing. I thought Chris Peterson up at UW, again, seemed like a really sharp, smart guy. Kyle Whittingham. I mean, these are all, I mean, I don't know what their political leanings are. I don't know whether they're right or left, but none of them seem like a-holes. They seem like, again, they're leaders. They know how to build things. They know how to work with different groups of people. I could see something like that, and I guess I could get behind it.
What about our friend Joey Harrington?
Yeah, I could see that. Again, it's the same sort
of... I'm going to ask him about that tomorrow.
It's the same sort of archetype. The problem that we have in government is the only people that want those jobs are the people that shouldn't have them. And you're there because you're either a power-hungry douche or you're using it to make yourself rich because you can go into to Congress, you know, worth nothing, and you walk out of there 10 years later and you're worth $20 million. We don't have anyone that actually wants to do the job for the sake of trying to make things better for people. And that's the issue. Yeah, Andrew Luck is another one. Yeah, again, give me someone like that.
All right.
Like Steve Largent's in the government, right? Isn't he?
Yeah, he was in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Right.
Senator or something like that?
Sure.
Is he still with us?
He's still alive. I don't know if he's still doing it. I mean, Stephen A. Smith is back to rattling the cage saying that he's open to the idea of still running for president. There's that crap.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Steve Kerr, there you go.
Okay.
I appreciate people that seem to be common sense folk. Can we get back to that where we regardless if someone agrees with everything you believe, can we just get back to someone that seems intelligent and has common sense? Is that so hard?
I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Quiet. You're really obnoxious.
See? Shut up.
Whether we got the squad on one side and then the Boberts and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Tommy Tubervilles. I mean, my God, who likes these people? Who?
All right, coming up next.
People elect them.
Let's get to the club. We've got, A man has been arrested for the 26th time.
Seems like a lot.
But the real news is what was up his exit ramp.
Oh, I saw the. Okay. I think I saw this story.
We also have smoking hot alien DNA news.
All right.
Tonight. And there's an
Captain Kirk Strange.
There's an Ocean's 14 in the works, apparently.
Speaking of things we don't need.
So we will get to the club hour coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.